Today on Real Life Radio.
By the end of the week, they will all turn on him because he didn't answer their political aspirations, but went to the cross instead. Friends, Bible prophecy matters. And Jesus said, I hold you accountable to know that day. And you didn't know it. And so now your peace is taken from you. So when God's word says what it says, we want to pay close attention to it.
This is Real Life. Welcome to Real Life Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. You know, the Lord wants us to understand just how amazing our future is going to be, to confirm in our hearts what we know to be true about the end times, and to look forward to our eternal life in heaven with Him. We may live in a crazy, mixed-up world, but we have the Holy Spirit to guide us, God's Word to strengthen us, and a future that is worth waiting for. This is why Pastor Jack has devoted his website to the kind of content that keeps our minds on Christ and provides us with some great sound biblical doctrine to meditate upon. So head over to our website, that's jackhibbs.com, check out the media section, devotions, and how to know God in a personal way. You can also access Pastor Jack's YouTube channel and more Real Life Radio episodes. Again, the website is jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. On today's edition of Real Life Radio, Pastor Jack now continues his series called Futures with a message titled, What We Know for Sure, Part 2. This series is a study in what the Bible says about heaven, about the future, and why it matters in our lives today. You see, there are faith-building passages in the Bible that speak of the future with 100% accuracy. Knowing God's Word gives us the assurance that God is working toward an ending on earth and the beginning of eternity. So in today's message, Pastor Jack teaches us that the Bible is God's communication, the message of Jesus is our armament, and the outcome has been revealed to us in advance. Now with his message called What We Know for Sure, Part 2, here's pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs.
Normally, right, I'd have you turn in your Bible, and you can certainly turn in your Bible, but we're going to be reading from the screens together out of Ezekiel 38. It's where we were last week, and we're going to finish this off today. It's our portion of the Futures series, and we're looking right now at a message themed entitled, What We Know for Sure. What we know for sure. You hear reporters tell you, well, what we know for sure. It's always scary when the reporters say what we know for sure is. You might get that data from a doctor, from someone, an investigator, an analyst. What we know for sure is. And sometimes that can be posed as a question or a statement. And this is a statement, a fact for us as believers. Bible prophecy is simply this, God speaking to us from his word, the Bible, about things that have not yet happened. The God of the Bible is unique. Your Bible is unique. No other faith group, as you've been hearing, no other religious book has been able nor even attempts to speak the future in advance. God's word does. With not 99% accuracy. That would make it a false book. With 100% accuracy. Obviously, Father, the point to all of this is knowing that you are the Lord. And Father, it's also, we sense and feel like we're breaking into, coming upon sacred ground, and so we are. A Bible prophecy that is yet to be fulfilled. So specific and so clear, this 2,500-year-old prophecy that it seems as though it was written last night in light of today's news. Lord, awaken our hearts and our minds that we might behold the glory of the Lord and revel in the plan of the Lord. We look around our world today and we see the plan of man and the plots and schemes of the power brokers. But then when we go into the house of the Lord, we remember who's really in charge. And we thank you, Father God, that we have you, your word, and your spirit that dwells within us, that calls us and brings us together to be a church. We thank you for that truth. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. 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 You can be seated. And one of the great things about Ezekiel 38 is Ezekiel 36, 37, and 39. If you later this afternoon read Ezekiel chapter 36 and 37, you will be blown away by the fact of the matter that God announces to Ezekiel before chapter 38. He speaks to Ezekiel and he gives that famous prophecy that you are probably pretty well aware of. And that is, God shows Ezekiel a vision. And Ezekiel sees the land of Israel, but he sees it covered in skeleton bones. And God says, Ezekiel, what are you looking at? And he says, I'm looking at a nation of bones. And he says, Ezekiel, prophesy to those bones and speak to them. And so he speaks to the bones. And as he's preaching what God is going to do, listen carefully, God speaks to the prophet Ezekiel and says to the dry bones, stand up, dry bones. And as the bones stood up, sinew, muscle, and bone began to come together because of the muscle connection and the ligaments coming together. And as Ezekiel proclaimed the prophecy, each of the skeletals now got skin on them and they took on personality. And as they were there, then God said, I'm going to breathe into them, my breath, and I'm going to cause them to live again. And I'm going to cause them to come to my land. And in the last days, they'll be reestablished as a nation and I will be their God and they will become my people. And God says to Ezekiel, all this is going to happen to the nation of Israel and it's going to happen in unbelief. He's going to bring them from all over the world into their own land that was promised to Abraham in the last days. And God's going to do it with them not believing, which I find that fascinating. You go to Israel today and you expect that when you get off the plane in Tel Aviv that you walk around and you want to run up and kiss a Jew because you think obviously they believe in God. And don't do that. Because you'll be shocked to find out that so many Jews in Israel consider themselves some form of atheist. And you ask them, well, how can this be? And they say, listen, this is ridiculous. God, where was God? Where was God in the Holocaust? Where was God when Hitler was? And they go, and that's their argument. But I love their argument because they're actually very angry at God. They're not denying his existence. They think they don't believe in him, but they're actually complaining about the way he runs the universe, which takes great faith, right? If you think about it, what are you mad at? I'm mad at God, but I don't believe he exists. But yet in the Bible, the book of Deuteronomy chapter 28 said that when Israel followed God, they'd be blessed. But if they rejected God, they would be removed from their land. And that's exactly what's happened. Yet God's got a plan for the nation of Israel, and you're reading about it today in Ezekiel 38. But the nation will become physically together, no spirit in them. They will become prosperous, no spirit in them. They'll be on the map again, but yet no spirit in them. And it doesn't happen until after the Ezekiel battle. Something happens in chapter 38 and 39, read it later, that there's this click that we read about at the end of there, verse 16, that not only the nations of the world will know that he's the Lord, but in that victory that God does for them, that they begin to wake up to the salvation of God. God has always looked to his nation Israel to identify his word, his Bible. He expects them to know it. But listen, if you're a Gentile today, non-Jew, like me, I'm a Gentile. I'm not off the hook. Because God has given you and I his Bible, he expects us to know this book. There's no excuse for us to not know this. Not one of us. You say, oh, I don't like reading. Well, that's because of laziness. Let's be honest. The reason why you may not like reading, well, I can't read as fast as anybody else. He didn't ask you to take the Evelyn Woods speed reading course. He told you to read it. Well, I don't, you know, I'm blind, I can't read it. There's my excuse, audio Bible. Listen to it. There's no excuse. Why do I say that? Listen to Luke chapter 19. Luke chapter 19 regarding Bible prophecy. You want to know how important it is? You want to know what God thinks about it? He says this about it. Luke 19, verse 37. Then as he was now drawing near to the descent of the Mount of Olives. So now he's coming down the western slope of the Mount of Olives. All of us who've been to Israel, I deliberately walk you down that path, the exact same path. We go down that road. We go over the top, the crest of the Mount of Olives, and then we walk down that windy ancient road to the Kidron Valley. The whole multitude of the disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works that they had seen. Verse 38, this is what they said. Blessed is the King, he who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest. Verse 39 says, and some of the Pharisees called to him from the crowd. You can always count on these guys to be the party poopers. Teacher, you can just see them. They're all dolled up with their Pharisee outfit on. They have the huge hats, black and white robes. And you get these beards. And they couldn't stand Jesus. The Bible says they hated him because of envy. Teacher, rebuke your disciples. The word means tell your disciples to shut it. That's what it means. Close it. But Jesus answered and said to them, I tell you that if these should keep silent, the stones would immediately cry out. And I wish this verse 41 read like this. Jesus commanded his disciples to be quiet, and at that moment the ground began to shake. And you could hear little rocks, medium-sized rocks, and big rocks all crying out and praising the wonderful works of God. That's what I would have written, but God didn't ask me to write it, and I can't write that. But wouldn't it have been amazing if Jesus would have said, oh, okay, hey guys, can you just bring it down a minute? And can you imagine these little rocks, little pebbles?
Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Jesus is Lord.
And then the other rocks, praise the Lord. Jesus is Lord. He is the Christ. He's the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. And then the big rock, big boulders, Jesus is Lord. And J. Vernon McGee says, if that would have happened, it would have been the first rock concert in history right there. That's a good word. But that's not what happened. Verse 41 says, now as they drew near, and the word near means that Jesus was drawing near with the intent to reveal, or he was revealing to the nation of Israel that he was in fact king. This is April 6th, 32 AD. It's a Sunday morning, and we know it as Palm Sunday. And as he drew near, it says to the city, he wept. And the word weep in Greek means that he wept so deep and so hard that his body is physically moving. You can see his chest, his shoulders, his face. Everybody's cheering. One lonely voice of tears cry out. If there was an awkward moment, this is it. That had to be very strange. And the Bible tells us that he wept over it. Verse 42 says, saying, if you had known, will you mark that? If you had known. He's indicting them, church family. Jesus is saying, I am holding you responsible for knowing something you should have known on this day. If you had known, even you, especially in this your day, the things that make for your peace. This is the answer to your problems. This is the answer to your dilemma. This is the answer to your whole life's existence, both physically and spiritually right now. But you guys are missing it. If you had only known.
You're listening to Real Life with Pastor Jack Hibbs. You know, to hear more episodes and maybe catch up in the series, just go to jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. And for now, let's get back to our teaching. Once again, here's Pastor Jack.
But now they are hidden from your eyes, for the days will come upon you when your enemies will build an embankment around you and surround you and close you in on every side, verse 44, and level you and your children within you to the ground, and they will not leave one stone left upon another. That happened when Titus Vespasian, the general of the 5th Roman Legion, entered into Jerusalem. This is secular. This is Roman history now. He came into Jerusalem to put down an uprising, and the entire temple, tapestries and woodwork caught fire accidentally, burned the gold within the top ceiling of the inside of the temple. The gold melted, flowed between the cracks of the rocks, and you can take an airplane ride today and go to Jerusalem and see those rocks that have been stripped of their gold, that have been left in the heap of 70 AD under General Titus, and it's exactly as Jesus said would happen right then and there. Remarkable. And this is the reason why it happened. Look what he says. Because you did not know the time of your visitation. Jesus held them accountable to know the day that he would be presented as king. This thy day. If they knew their Bibles, they would have known the day. On March 14th, 445 BC, Nehemiah, in your Bible, is the cupbearer to King Artaxerxes. He's in captivity. But he's a trusted ally of the king. Being a Jew, the king trusted him. And Nehemiah would go in. He would, of course, you know, a cupbearer means you taste the food and the cup in advance to see if somebody's trying to kill the king. Well, how do they find out? You're dead. But to have that position, you're super trusted. I don't know what the benefit, perks, rewards of that would be, but and so Artaxerxes says to Nehemiah, you know what? I want you to go back to your homeland. You go back and you rebuild the streets and the walls in the city of Jerusalem, and I'll even pay for it. And here's your traveling permit. And he writes an edict on March 14th, 445 BC, and he sends Nehemiah on his way. And Nehemiah goes there to do that very thing. But the book of Daniel tells us that from the time of the issuance of Nehemiah's permission to go back and rebuild the wall to the coming of the Messiah, the Prince, it would be 483 years. 483 years. But the Bible is based upon a 360-day calendar. What I'm about to give you, Sir Isaac Newton figured it out, and then it was finished off by the most famous detective of Scotland Yard, Sir Robert Anderson. In fact, with what I'm about to tell you, he was knighted as a sir by the Queen of England. Sir Robert Anderson took the works of Sir Isaac Newton. Isaac Newton wrote a commentary in the book of Daniel. You can buy it. And they did the mathematics because it's not easy. But from a Babylonian calendar, which is the Bible, from Genesis to Revelation, is based on a 360-day year. The Bible knows nothing about a 365-day year. And from March 14th, 445 BC, if you count 483 years from that day, it's 173,880 days. From March 14th, 445 BC, it lands on April 6th, 32 AD. On April 6th, 32 AD, you should have gotten out of bed, got your kids, and gone down to the Mount of Olives and said, listen, the Bible says that the Messiah is going to come today to Israel, and we're just going to wait here. And coming up over the hill is a bunch of noise. And Josephus tells us it wound up being somewhere in the realm of 100,000 people. And here comes Jesus riding on the back of a little donkey, fulfilling Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9. Behold, Israel, your king comes to you, humble, lowly, riding on the colt, the foal of a donkey. And the Bible tells us in this book of Psalms, starting in Psalm 118, that Israel would shout, Hosanna, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Guess what? When Jesus rode down that hill, they said the very same thing. The problem is they were looking for a political deliverer and not the Messiah. By the end of the week, they will all turn on him because he didn't answer their political aspirations, but went to the cross instead. Friends, Bible prophecy matters. And Jesus said, I hold you accountable to know that day. And you didn't know it. And so now your peace is taken from you. So when God's word says what it says, we want to pay close attention to it. And God gives us these things that we might be people who are at peace and that we know what's coming. We don't have to worry and bite our nails like the rest of the world, especially in times like these. God wants to communicate to you his truth. And you need to make a decision of what you're going to listen to. I hope you look at it this way. If any of you have been in war or combat, one of the first things that you do is you get intelligence on your enemy or for the mission. And you know what the first thing is? The first thing it is that you do, you figure out how do you take out their communications. I don't care how big the army is. I don't care how big the nation is. You want to mess them up? You take out communications. By the way, we're really good at that as a nation, as a war machine. Is that we usually go in a few days in advance and we always take out their communication systems. Do it by stealth. Nowadays, you don't even need stealth. The United States and Israel both are pretty famous for just going in onto a computer and sending information that completely disconnects the communications of the enemy. When the communications is not clear, people get confused, okay? And that's what happens in war, and you and I right here are at war. It's not for any territory. It's not for any booty or any loot or any glory. It's for souls. That's what we're living for. You and I as believers, we're living for the souls of men and women and boys and girls. You say, that's creepy. Not creepy at all. Listen, we are Jesus's ambassadors, says the Bible. We're deployed all around the world as believers. And the fact of the matter is this, we're trying to share the gospel with people, we're trying to communicate the truth, and the enemy wants to mess that up constantly with false teaching, false prophets, false faith, and to confuse someone's ability to come to the knowledge of Christ, that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. The enemy hates that. Jesus died on the cross for our sins to set us free. The enemy hates that. That's why he floods you with allurements and lust and pride and desire. Those are not cute things or things that you can hold in your breast for a moment and not be burned. They are demonically driven by a world of darkness invisible to our eyes that want to seek your soul and pull you into the pit. Why is that important? That's how much Satan hates you and God. You're the prize. And thus Bible prophecy makes its claims to us, and it's awesome and comforting. Don't need to belabor it. Last time together, we argued this, that regarding what we know for sure is that the world now is being turned to all eyes on God. People are waking up around the world at this time to consider God. People are tuning in. People are reading their Bibles. The biggest download of Christian data, as I've been telling you over and over again, during the year 2020 has been the nation of Iran, Persia. Gospel going all over the world. Billions of people reading Bible online. What's up? Something's happening. And God has delivered this opportunity at an age like this where technology can be used. We're living in a miracle right now. And I don't want you to miss the day of your visitation. This is an epic moment.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Life Radio with his message called What We Know For Sure, Part 2. Thanks for being here today. You know, this message is part of Pastor Jack's series called Futures. It's a series on prophetic scriptures from the Bible and what they mean for us today. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Life Radio. Haven't we all felt the sting of guilt when it comes to pursuing God at a deeper level? We really want to, but we're not sure how to do it while living under the pressure of life. It's why The Pursuit of God by the late author and pastor A.W. Tozer is our current featured resource. Tozer will show you how to quiet your life in God's presence, offering you hope and a new outlook on life.
The Pursuit of God is available for a gift of any amount at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. You know, in a hectic world, it's hard to find a moment's peace. A beautiful sunrise on a quiet beach gives temporary solace. But daily inspiration that will guide and uplift our spirits is what we need the most. It's why people of all ages are turning to devotions with Jack Hibbs. There's a new devotion each week, and previous devotions you can go to start each day with purpose and hope. Jack Hibbs devotions are available on our website at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com, where faith meets real life.
You know, Jack Hibbs truly believes that we are living in some of the most exciting days in history, which brings some great opportunities to share with the world a powerful, no-nonsense presentation of the gospel to this generation, who, by the way, are really searching for answers and for truth. Will you stand with us in sharing this message in real and practical ways? We ask that you commit to support Real Life and the teachings of Jack Hibbs with a gift of your choosing. Simply go to jackhibbs.com. There you'll find instructions on how to give a one-time gift or a recurring gift. If you'd prefer to call, here's that phone number, 877-777-2346. One more time, 877-777-2346. Your gift will be faithfully put to work because it's our desire that through Jesus Christ, you will know real life. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Life Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Life Radio.